Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 405. Bob Costas joins us. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Great, man. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
So I saw a couple of days ago where you'd made some comments, kind of dipping your toe into the political goings on, and in particular January 6th. And I said, we got to get Bob on to talk about this, and you have as long as you want. You can do a segment. You can do an hour. I'm just going to throw it to you, and then we'll jump in as we need, but I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Well, just to understand the context, I'm now a CNN contributor, and I realize some people have been conditioned to believe that anything said on CNN, including if they say that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, is therefore a lie, because if you've spent your whole life or most of the last many years listening only to Fox News and only to Rush Limbaugh, R.I.P. Rush, who was a nice guy in person, different story as a public figure, if that's all you're listening to, or various precincts on the internet, or whatever is on your Facebook feed, where the algorithms keep sending you stuff that reinforces how you feel, then, and if you're listening to Trump, who tells you that the media, meaning anybody that doesn't agree with and venerate him, is the enemy of the people, and it's all fake news, well, that's what CNN means to you. But I am on CNN as a contributor because I have past NBC colleagues there who asked me if I would come on occasionally to talk about sports issues that cross over into news, like the Olympics in this time frame and other things that come up. So Matt Schlapp of the Conservative Action Committee or whatever it is, it was during CPAC, Matt Schlapp was on with Chris Cuomo in the segment immediately preceding mine last Friday night. And I was on to talk about Shikari Richardson being declared ineligible for the Olympics and a few other sports things. But then he asked me about what had just transpired. So I responded to it. You know, this notion of stick to sports, what that really means is, generally speaking, stick to sports if you're saying something I don't want to hear. Because Fox News happily brings on ex-athletes and entertainers and whatnot as long as they're saying what they want to hear. I am not, despite how some people have tried to frame me, I'm not a severely left of center guy. And anything I may say in this segment and have said before about Donald Trump and MAGA world, this is not an either or, yes, no, up, down, good, bad. You're not either extremely left or extremely right. I, like the vast majority of Americans, am somewhere in the center. So anything that I say when you begin to question me that may be critical of Donald Trump and those who follow him blindly, that does not mean that I'm signing off on everything that the progressive wing of the Democratic Party says. I have a big problem with a lot of what passes for progressivism, left-wing stuff, wokeism, cancel culture. I think on most issues I'm a slightly left-of-center classic liberal, but there are actually many conservative positions with which I agree. But I think the present Republican Party under Trump has nothing to do with actual conservatism, has nothing to do with actual Republican principles. And the number of tried and true conservatives, both in politics and in media, who jumped ship on Trump right from the start is proof of that.
Bob, I hope it means more coming from you than me, but this is pretty much word for word what I've been saying for about 3 years now. And it was quite unpopular in 97.1 for obvious reasons. Somewhat more palatable here on KMOX, but I'm exactly where you are, my friend. I've never really called myself a conservative or a liberal. I've always said I'm kind of in the middle. And I'm in the middle as an average, like you. Like, there are some things like the military and fiscal policy I'm quite conservative about. But then when it comes to social policies, I'm either agnostic, like, I don't care, I don't know, or, yeah, do what you want to do. I don't care where you dig. And
sure.
And I voted for former President Trump the first time, became quite disenchanted with him quite quickly just because of the shenanigans. And then after January 6th, it was just like, how do we not all see this? So
yeah.
Preaching to the choir here. Please continue.
Look, his life, his biography prior to his descending that escalator in 2015 and declaring himself a candidate for president, his biography is a story of classless tabloid kind of self-promotion, a kind of cheap sort of celebrity, and lies. That's just a fact. I actually knew Donald Trump a little bit in his New York days, and I have to say, in fairness, he was always very nice to me. He's a sports fan, and he liked that. And I always tried to be as polite to him as I could be without aligning myself with him, but I thought he was basically harmless, just a tabloid creature and The Apprentice and et cetera, et cetera. But I saw how toxic this was from the very start. His campaign began with a racist lie, an already debunked racist lie with racist undertones about Barack Obama and his birth certificate. Now, again, I have to stipulate this throughout. There are false or too sweeping accusations of racism. Sometimes that accusation has lost its meaning because people use it more as a club than as a real search for justice. I understand that. But that doesn't mean, as some on the right would have you believe, that all claims of racism are false. Donald Trump doesn't care what he uses to improve his position if he perceives that it will improve his position. So that's what he did with something that should have been retired to the dustbin of history, not only the fact of Obama's birth certificate, but the resentments and the underlying racism that propelled it. When he was elected, he then declared that he was elected in a landslide. In fact, he had lost by 3 million popular votes. Those are the rules, so he won by the rules, but it's worth saying that this guy who thinks there's nothing worse than being a loser and declares himself to be the absolute epitome of every desirable human quality has in fact lost by a combined 10 million votes to two candidates who were far from powerhouse candidates. But he has to say that in order to assuage his ego, which is out of whack. Look, everybody in public life has an ego, but this guy has been declared by hundreds and hundreds of psychologists, they just watch him, to be a person who displays malignant narcissism. So now his inauguration takes place. There's a substantial crowd, but it's not as big a crowd as there was for Obama's first inauguration. Just a fact. He comes out and just lies. The biggest crowd ever. And that's when Kellyanne Conway introduces the concept of alternative facts. Now, I know that if you never listen to MAGA, anything but MAGA media, then you may not be clued into this. But Donald Trump lied throughout his presidency on a daily basis, and it culminated with the big lie. I said this to Charlie Brennan years ago on KMOX. I was in the studio with him, and I said that the rise of Trump is actually connected to a bigger story, which is modern media. When Fox News came into being in 1996, I think, they had a chance to be a reasonable alternative to the flaws and blind spots of the so-called mainstream media, which does, by and large, hew toward liberal precepts. They could have been that. They could have been a Wall Street Journal of the air. They could have been a thoughtful alternative. But instead, Roger Ailes, who in his own way was a kind of business genius, decided that the best way to do this is to play to the fears and resentments of their audience. And that's what they did. And this is in conjunction with the rise of the internet, where people can begin to get information from millions of different sources, most of which are not credible, but the algorithms are all aligned to feed you what it is you seem to be interested in. A Donald Trump could not have risen in any way without that, without Rush Limbaugh and all of his imitators on talk radio. There are radio stations that carry nothing but right-wing talk 24 hours a day, all the various iterations of right-wing talk. So in those precincts, Trump was never held to account for his constant lying. And so I said to Charlie Brennan a few years ago, we now live in a world where anything is true if you want it to be true, even if there's no evidence for it, except that you want to believe it or somebody declared it and you want to say, yeah, I agree. And everything is untrue if you don't want it to be true, even if, as I put it then, if you had a choir of angels testifying to the truth of it. So you take the big lie. There is no persuasive evidence of any widespread fraud whatsoever. You don't have to be a Democrat to believe that. You have to be a rational, common sense person. Many people with Republican backgrounds have verified that. Many Republican election officials and judges, some of them appointed by Trump himself, including three Supreme Court justices that Trump has appointed, have rejected every one of those claims out of hand. Some 60 lawsuits filed by the clown show firm of Giuliani, Powell, and Wood. All that stuff, that doesn't convince the people at CPAC. There's no evidence for their case. There's an overwhelming amount of evidence to refute their case, but their dear leader, Donald Trump, has declared that that is the case. And where has that taken us? We have one party which is probably leaning too far to the left in response, in part, to Trumpism. And Trumpism, in part, is a response to people's fear and resentment of that. But the Republican Party, by and large, with exceptions, Romney, Liz Cheney, with exceptions, by and large, they aren't just right-wing. They're living in a delusional world. And no party or movement led by Donald Trump can ever be about honesty, integrity, or any sort of consistent principle or any rational understanding of patriotism. This was a guy who was willing to subvert the very pillars of democracy if it suited him. He's a guy who will praise the Matt Gaetzes and Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts of the world. I mean, look at the CPAC stuff. It's like a Mardi Gras of lunacy and ignorance, but it's a proud, defiant ignorance. It used to be the sort of place where thoughtful conservatives, who we need now, presented their point of view. Now it's just even politicians who should know better, they seem not to be less interested in governing than they are in landing a spot on Fox News. What could be more telling than Jack Danforth saying that one of the great regrets of his public life was his sponsorship of Josh Hawley? You got some people like Mo Brooks and Louis Gohmert who are so dumb they need to be watered like a houseplant, but then you have people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley who are better than that. They're Ivy League educated. They know better, but they're so cynical, they're willing to subvert principle because they know that their careers are tied to somehow either supporting Trump or finessing some sort of feigned support for Trump so that they can still appeal to some portion of that base. None of this has anything to do with principle and the kind of discussion that we should be having in the public sphere, which is an honest, good faith discussion among proud, patriotic Americans about what direction the country should take. And those policy discussions can often be pretty heated, but they have to be based in reality. They have to be based in fact. And the Republican Party, by and large now, does not live in a factual world.
Bob, can you hang one more segment with us?
Sure, whatever you want, unless there's an insurrection outside KMOX as we speak. And by the way, I didn't even mention that. Here's a guy who, in effect, in effect, created the insurrection, and now you've got all the video evidence in the world that you want. And you've got these people wearing MAGA hats saying, oh, no, that didn't happen. That's not Trump people. That's people from the CIA. That's people from Antifa. What? And then Trump says yesterday, Trump, a guy who doesn't care if QAnon supports him, QAnon's fine by him. As long as you support him, Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. These are people who should be toxic, and their ideas should be toxic to any American, no matter where they fall on the political spectrum. So what does Trump say yesterday? He knows who shot Ashley Babbitt, and it might be a security guard for Chuck Schumer. This is a man who was the president of the United States, who, if he was the guy at the local chamber of commerce, you'd just look at him like he was nuts. And he actually is kind of nuts. He's unhinged, at the very least.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break. Right back with more with Bob Costas right after this. DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Bob Costas is with us. So, Bob, we're both grown men. We've been around the block a few times. We know that politics is a contact sport. It's dirty. People use fear. They use, you know, all sorts of tactics. I've never seen fear like this. Lindsey Graham, on the evening of January 6th, got up on the Senate floor and said, that's it. I'm out. This is nuts. Count me out of this. And within 48 hours, he was back in. Why this level of fear of this man?
MAGA cult. And it is a cult. And so if you're a Republican and you hope to hold your seat or whatever it might be, you know that especially in a primary situation, you're going to have to appeal to some of those people. And in addition to Donald Trump being a fundamentally dishonest person, he's also a vengeful person. So he has already announced his intention to do everything he can to oppose those few Republicans like Lisa Murkowski and a few others who just simply recognized what was right in front of them, recognized that 2 + 2 = 4, and had to vote for impeachment or had to speak out against some of what he represents. You know, by the way, in 2016, when Donald Trump was asked, will you accept the results of the election? This is before election night against Hillary Clinton. He said, if I win, I will. If I don't, it's rigged. He was already pushing the envelope. How much can I get away with? And, you know, when Donald Trump says about the insurrectionists, and they weren't all insurrectionists, some of them were just Trump supporters, they weren't all violent, they didn't all charge into the Capitol, but the video evidence is there. To deny that, you might as well deny that Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald. It's right there. It's on camera. But he said about them, oh, we love you. And at CPAC, we love all of you. Yeah, he loves them the way any con man or grifter loves their marks, because he needs them. And the perfect proof of that is Mike Pence. Like a mob boss, Trump demands total loyalty. And you cannot stand on principle if that puts him at odds with you. And all these so-called patriots who talk about the Constitution, there is nothing in the Constitution that allows the vice president to simply look at the electoral votes and reject them. It's the role of the vice president in that circumstance is like the role of Warren Beatty or whomever when he opens the envelope to tell you who won the Academy Award. But he put Mike Pence's life in peril and still has not backed off from that position, and there are so many people who believe it. Look, this is a cult. If you were to take all the best qualities, let's say the 6 or 7 presidents that your understanding of history tells you were the most admirable, and they were all flawed to some extent, and all politicians tell lies at one time or another, or twist the truth to their benefit. But that's different from Trump, who's dishonest to his core. But if you were to take all the best qualities of all the presidents through history, pick one from Washington, one from Jefferson, one from Lincoln, one from Reagan, whatever it might be, all of them, and you combine them into one person, that person would be a heck of a president and very admirable. But he or she would not deserve blind, cult-like devotion, no matter what they did or said. That's what's happened, though, with Donald Trump and a good portion of the Republican Party. And it could not have happened, Dave, without Fox News and all of their imitators. So when you see Fox And even more so than their devotion to Trump, their guiding principle has always been, long before anybody ever thought that Donald Trump could have a place in American politics, their guiding principle has always been, we are the one place where you, Mr. and Mrs. Mainstream America, can hear your truth, and you can't believe the mainstream media. Now, by the way, there was some truth in that. I was on KMOX a couple of years ago with Charlie Brennan recommending a book that my friend and former colleague Bernie Goldberg wrote, longtime CBS guy and later with HBO, called Bias. He had been at CBS News. He perceived a left-leaning, almost unconscious bias in some cases, and he laid it out in a very thoughtful book. Fox News could have been the antidote to that. Instead, they went in a different direction. And when you see Sean Hannity, whose head is so far up Trump's hindquarters that it will require the jaws of life to extract him at some point if he ever wants to leave that precinct, every single night he's telling his audience, the media mob, it's all a matter of irrational hatred of Trump, and we're the place that... But Fox is a propaganda operation. That doesn't mean there aren't occasional points that are made that aren't true. There's so many excesses on the left that they hand Fox and others like them many legitimate points to make. So I'm not saying that there isn't some stuff on Fox in the opinion sections that isn't true. But by and large, it's a propaganda site. Chris Wallace does a solid job. Shep Smith did, but he had to leave. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the way the thing works. If that didn't exist, if you didn't have all those echo chambers, and you just had Walter Cronkite and Tom Brokaw or John Chancellor or Howard K. Smith giving you a decent digest of the news, which still happens on the three networks now, but they don't have the primacy they once had. If you had that, people would still interpret those facts and that information through their own particular political prisms, but you wouldn't have these wild differences where people just decide on their own realities, and if you support Trump, you're living in an unreality.
Bob, we have to hand it over to the KMOX News. I think we may have made some news ourselves here today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you said. I appreciate the guts to say it, and you're the best. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Dave.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to the Dave Glover Show and KMOX 440. So we just did the first half hour with our friend Bob Costas, and we spoke off the air. This is really, really important stuff. And so Bob has agreed to come back on and finish out the hour with us. Bob, once again, I'm going to turn it back over to you. When we left, we were talking about former President Trump and MAGA World, and please continue.
Well, Dave, I just want to reiterate this point. People tune in and out, or their attention is diverted or something. Criticizing MAGA World and what it represents, which I hope is something aberrant in American history, is not the same thing as carrying the banner for every Democratic candidate or every Democratic position. Joe Biden, anybody on that side of the aisle, they should face sharp questioning, and they should face a loyal opposition that calls them to account, and we should have spirited debates about policy. And again, if you like some of Donald Trump's policies, the Supreme Court appointments and whatever it may have been, the border, whatever about Trump's policies you like, find a responsible, honest, genuinely patriotic, not entirely self-interested man or woman to carry the banner for those ideas and those policies. The Republican Party in my lifetime, I was a little kid with the first one that I'm going to mention, but it was Dwight Eisenhower, Nelson Rockefeller, Howard Baker, Nancy Kassebaum, Jack Danforth, our own from Missouri, a great man, Lowell Weicker, Ed Brooke, Margaret Chase Smith, Arlen Specter, both Bushes, 41 and 43. I thought that I disagreed with Bush 43 on a number of policy initiatives. I'm just a citizen. I'm not necessarily an expert. I happen to disagree. But both Bushes were good men. They were decent men, as is Mitt Romney, as was John McCain, as was Jacob Javits and Arlen Specter and others that I've mentioned. Whether we always agreed or disagreed with them, they were basically people of goodwill. What is the difference between Richard Nixon and Donald Trump post-presidency? Richard Nixon won his election rather narrowly in 68 over Hubert Humphrey, but by a genuine overwhelming landslide over George McGovern in 1972. He had a true mandate to govern. Then Watergate happened. He and his people tried to cover it up. His presidency unraveled. Here's a key difference. It might have taken Republicans like Howard Baker and Barry Goldwater and others longer to come around than some of the Democrats to seeing what was happening here. They might have given Nixon the benefit of the doubt for a while until there was no longer any doubt to give the benefit of. They may have said about Nixon after he left office, what a shame because I found him to be a capable president. But nobody, maybe someone on the fringe, but nobody that counted in American politics tried to deny that what Richard Nixon did was an impeachable offense. And he would have been impeached had he not resigned before such a proceeding would have taken place. People might have had a generally good feeling about Nixon, but they did not rationalize or turn away from the reality that undermined his presidency. That is the fundamental difference between Nixon and Trump. The Trump presidency makes Nixon's shortcomings, and there were many, seem like child's play. And the evidence is right out in front of you, right out in front of you. Not just the insurrection, not just the big lie that goes on and on, not just the constant lying and crazy, classless, graceless, undignified behavior. All of it, it's right there in front of you. Much of it is on tape or in archival through his tweets. And yet, his staunch supporters don't either deny it or don't care about it. So there's no principle that can be applied. The only principle at work here is tribalism. Trump is our guy, and I kind of get it because he calls out the libs, he expresses our resentments, he speaks bluntly, which is not the same thing as telling it like it is, but he speaks bluntly, and his supporters like that. But this is really a path to nowhere. And historians, Dave, already, and in the future, it'll be the same, I guarantee you that, long after we're gone, Donald Trump's presidency, by an overwhelming consensus of historians of all stripes, Republicans, Democrats, independents, will rank as the worst or one of the worst in American history, primarily because of the character of the man. There's an old saying that character is destiny. If you follow a person of this character, you're destined ultimately to wind up at a dead end.
Bob, let's take a break and come back and do one more segment together. I have a couple of questions to to ask you. Quick break, right back. We're talking to our friend Bob Costas here on the DGS and KMOX. Welcome back, guys. DGS, just about 4:50 here on a Wednesday afternoon. We're talking to our friend Bob Costas. So, Bob, it's KMOX, big audience. Let's assume half the people out there support the former president. Some of them love him. Yep. A lot of people in my life would say this, and this is my question to you. I get this a lot. Look, Dave, I'm not crazy about the guy. I wish he'd stop tweeting, and he certainly seems classless, but we're fighting socialism. We're fighting for the very heart of the country. We may not be here in 50 years if we let Biden win and Kamala Harris, and your answer to that.
I get that, and I think that's a perfectly respectable position that should be argued honestly, and as I said, go find an honest human being to carry that banner. Don't be part of a cult of someone whose interest is only in enriching himself and in inflating his own rather grotesquely twisted ego. Look, I consider myself a St. Louisan. I've spent most of my adult life in St. Louis. Missouri used to be a purple state, as apt to go Democrat as Republican through the years. Many admirable Democrats and Republicans who had national profiles from Missouri. In my experience, I do not find conservative people any less generous or decent or admirable than people who are more liberal. I've found many of the people who would identify as Republicans to be among the most charitable and kind and community-minded. And so I wonder how so many of my fellow St. Louisans, if half the audience falls into that category, even if they don't fully embrace him, like you say, they fear what the extreme left may impose upon the country, and that's a legitimate argument to have. But don't have it on behalf of someone, Mr. and Mrs. St. Louis or Missouri, good people, someone who does not possess a single personal quality that a rational parent would encourage their son or daughter to emulate.
Bob, what kind of flack did you take after the Cuomo interview? And tell me about just that, your position, like, okay, I'm going to take it on Twitter, but you know what? Here I go.
I don't have a Twitter presence. I don't know. You know, it's very unscientific when you're walking down the street and people say, hey, Bob, love you on Cuomo. I don't know what that proves. You know, he asked me, and I answered. That's about all I know about it.
Bob, what I think is really sad, it's not just, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but it's more global. It's something that could be still going on 50, 100 years from now. I think we've lost the thread of statesmen. And now people are rushing to the bottom, and it's like WWE wrestling, and I'm more concerned about 20 years from now than I am even 20 days or 20 months from now.
You're right, because the media landscape doesn't just allow for it. It almost directs us that way. You know, Fox saw when they weren't Trumpy enough, when they simply acknowledged the reality that he had lost the election, many of their audience migrated to Newsmax or to OAN. And now Fox News won't necessarily state blatant lies regarding the election, but they're never going to hold Trump to account because it costs them audience. This is no longer about, hey, here's an honest presentation of the news, and here is our honest take on it, agree with it or not. A lot of it is about, what is it our audience wants? If we're McDonald's, we're not serving sushi. This is what our audience wants. This is what our customers want. Our customers want pro-Trump stuff. Now, they'll tell you, well, it's just the same on CNN. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. That's a false equivalency. MSNBC, maybe. MSNBC is pretty much out there, with a few exceptions, mm-hmm. Scarborough Show and Brian Williams Show, but much of it is pretty much out there. CNN has its flaws, has its blind spots, but infinitely closer to a legitimate news operation and to something that is presenting you with pertinent facts than Fox News is, with some exceptions on Fox News, like Chris Wallace and others that I mentioned.
Bob, was there a moment, for me a real moment, was when the president did the whole thing about bleach and the sunshine inside, and even worse was the next day when he said, I was obviously kidding. That broke me. Was there a moment for you that was especially a breaking point?
Throughout the campaign, just the obvious willingness to say anything, to engage in schoolyard insults that would be beneath the dumbest kid in the back of the room in the sixth grade. All those things inevitably lead to what we've seen. And what he said about bleach and all that stuff during the pandemic, look, just try and ground yourself. I don't mean you, Dave. I mean anybody in the audience that's maybe blindly pro-Trump. Think of what happened at the outset of the pandemic. Oh, it's nothing. It'll go away. There'll be maybe 15 people. This is all designed to undermine me. It was clear from the start. A perceptive 12-year-old could see. He saw the pandemic as one thing. How does it affect me? And how can I spin it, if I can, so that it doesn't hurt me and maybe in some sense helps me? Now, look, we all have self-interest, and that includes all politicians. But most of us have some sense of our obligation to others. The pandemic was another reveal, as if anybody who was paying attention needed a reveal. You can give Trump credit, although any president would have done it. Let's give him credit for having initiated the search for a vaccine. But think about this. The top 20 states in the country with the highest percentage of vaccinated citizens all voted for Biden. The lowest 20 states with the smallest percentage of vaccinated citizens all voted for Trump. That's not because Democrats are smarter as a group or better people than Republicans necessarily, but Republicans, by and large, especially Trump Republicans, are living in a certain kind of bubble where something that should be a straightforward health question has been politicized. But now 99.5% of those who die in America of COVID are not vaccinated. What is the single best thing that a genuinely patriotic ex-president would do? Go on the air and address the people that he is best positioned to persuade. Please, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, please get vaccinated for your health, for your family's health, for your community's health, and really, it's the most patriotic thing you could do as a single citizen. Why won't Donald Trump do that? That's a rhetorical question. It lies within the character of the person.
Bob Costas, thank you, Bob. Appreciate it, my friend.
All right, Dave.
All right.
I'll await the fallout.
As will I.
All right, see ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.